You may have heard dough this morning give a very, very incredibly interesting part of this story, as he told us from the viewpoint of someone who was serving in King Herod's court, about the visitors of these three magi, these wise men. And we often look at this story at this time of year. It reveals to us how Jesus has come as Lord and King, and Joe made that point very well this morning. So wise men seek him. Well, I hope wise women do as well. Just a few days ago, Jesus arrived on a stage setting of stable, manger, animals, angels and shepherds with his mother Mary and father Joseph. But just 2 days later, we see a different stage setting with some additional characters. It's almost as if we're observers in the audience watching a play. But I do hope that before we come to the end, we may feel that God is calling us to be more than just observers watching to see what happens on stage. The first character in our stage setting is, of course, Matthew, the writer of the first gospel, who sets the scene. His is the gospel of the king, because he traces Jesus' lineage in chapter 1 right back to King David, and 8 times he gives him the regal title Son of David, ending with the sign over his cross, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." And then there's King Herod. He's usually known as Herod the Great, and he was now an old man and had reigned for 35 years. His private life was full of feuds, intrigue, and murder. He'd murdered his wife, he murdered 3 of his sons, he murdered his mother-in-law, brother-in-law, and many other people. He had plenty of scholars and scribes around him and access to all knowledge, but he definitely wasn't wise. In fact, he was insanely jealous and deteriorating physically and mentally. Now, Jesus by now is probably several months old, maybe even a year old, living in a small house in Bethlehem, a few miles from Herod's palace. News of the events of his birth had not yet penetrated the palace walls, but now Herod is alerted by the news the wise men bring. The last thing he wanted to hear was that a king had been born to usurp his throne. And then we have the wise men themselves. Now, Matthew is actually the only person to tell us of these magi. They were Gentiles, probably coming from southern Arabia or Persia, which is now Iran, and it's likely they were astrologers who studied old manuscripts, movements in the heavenly bodies, and asked questions. They'd seen this bright star in the east, and it stirred something deep within them. It burned in them such a desire to seek this king that they left their homes, their families, their jobs, their commitments. They spent time, effort, and money on this long journey, enduring the discomfort and dangers of traveling. Now, the religious leaders in Jerusalem, they knew about the prophecies about God's promised king and where he would be born. But they weren't the ones racing down to Bethlehem to see if the prophecy had come true and whether the Messiah, the Christ, had come. They paid no attention to the baby boy living in their town. But these Gentiles came from far away and treated him with the respect and adoration he deserved. They are a vivid picture of what true worship of Jesus is, putting our diaries, our wallets, and our emotions at his disposal, and letting God direct their use. So as we look at all these characters, we see two camps forming, one full of praise and welcome, the other full of hatred and opposition. So the sight of the star led to compelling action on the part of the Magi. They asked questions. They literally went out of their way to seek the new king, going to places where they thought they would get answers. Wise men indeed. So they naturally went to the palace in Jerusalem to inquire after the newborn king. But their arrival at Herod's palace, by way of one of the caravan routes, meant that Jesus was now in danger. So why would Gentiles, foreigners from another country, travel all that distance to seek another nation's baby king? It would be like us leaving everything we have here to travel to Spain because we'd got this idea that a baby prince had been born to the royal family there. Well, only God knows their true reason. He must have put that desire deep within them to seek the king that had been foretold in Scripture. So the revelation of this star led to desire, and desire led to action. And they overcame every obstacle, and their seeking was rewarded, because the star led them to the very house where Jesus and his mother were together. And here we see the purpose of their long journey. What did they say? We have come to worship him. Did you notice the very first thing that the Magi did? They bowed down and worshipped. They presented themselves first, before they presented their gifts. They didn't give such honour to Herod the king, but only to this small child living in a simple house with ordinary folk. Yet we see in this passage how sincere and from the heart their worship was. Not like Herod, who said he too wanted to worship, but of course was lying. He only wanted to give lip service, not true heart worship. Years ago, we watched all the Lord of the Rings films. In it, Merry, one of the hobbits, offers his fealty to the steward of Gondor. He offers his loyalty and swears an oath to that effect. So with the gift of himself first, would then come the use of his gift, his little weapon, and his natural talents. Of course, when we worship God, we know we receive so much from him. We feel his presence, we experience joy, fellowship, and peace. But that should not be the reason we worship. True worship is giving. This is the true principle of Christian worship, giving ourselves first, then giving our gifts of time, talents, and treasures. The wise men didn't give their gifts first and then worship. They gave themselves first in worship, and then they offered their gifts. Because God is the perfect, just, and almighty creator of the universe, he is worthy of all the best we can give. Their giving was a response to their heart's desire to see the newborn king and worship him. And their giving was a natural follow-on from their worship. This is so different from the approach people sometimes take today. We expect God to come looking for us, to explain himself and prove who he is and give us gifts. But those who are wise will seek and worship Jesus today, not for what we can get out of him, but for who Jesus is. Let's have a look at the gifts quickly. They're both practical and symbolic. Gold would be very useful for this poor family, but it was a gift for royalty, for a king, paying him tribute as such. And frankincense was a gift for deity, for God, indicating the fragrance of his life and his future priestly role. And myrrh. Myrrh was used in embalming dead bodies, and so it gives a hint of the mission of this baby. The baby born to be king was the man born to die. Yes, wise men seek him. And as I prepared this, I had to ask myself, am I still seeking God? Am I as close to him as I was a year ago? Am I prepared to spend time, effort, and energy in this seeking process, just like those Magi did? Am I looking in the right places? Am I asking the right questions, reading the things that will give me the answers? And if I am still seeking him, am I doing so to receive gifts from him or to give gifts to him? And at the end of the seeking, am I still prepared to worship him first with the gift of myself? These are perhaps questions we all need to ask and answer, especially as we approach the end of this very difficult year and look forward to better times in 2021. For many of us, of course, the times we do seek God are the crossroads of our lives, times when we experience hardship, family struggles, broken relationships, bereavement, illness, and especially at this current time, loneliness. And at those times when we do start seeking Him and finding Him, I'm sure, like the Magi, we will discover ourselves bowing down and worshipping Him. Romans 12 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." So I wonder what things hinder us seeking God. If we do believe that the Lord is asking us to seek Him, we may have to make changes in our lives, perhaps in our thoughts and attitudes. We may need to remove obstacles out of the way, to get rid of hindrances and resist temptations. Or perhaps, in order to seek God, we might seek to follow the example of others. There's a very good example of a young 16-year-old king in 2 Chronicles 26 called Uzziah. And we read there, "He set himself to seek God." But be warned, if we do set ourselves to seek God, it has to be with the knowledge that seeking leads to worship, and worship leads to giving, the giving of ourselves. I wonder if you're going to make a New Year's resolution this coming Friday on New Year's Day. Many people don't bother these days, it's too much of an effort, and we don't want to put ourselves under any rule, even if it's self-imposed. But I would like to encourage all of us to make a spiritual New Year's resolution this week, and that is to set ourselves to seek God, like that young king Uzziah. To set ourselves to seek the king like the wise men. Surely this is the wisest thing we can do as we leave this devastating year behind and look forward to the new year. I said at the beginning that God may be calling us to be more than observers sitting in the audience watching a play on stage, because God is calling us not to sit back and watch and do nothing. He's calling us to take action and become participants, people actively seeking after the King of Kings. And of course, we have this wonderful promise in 1 Chronicles 28. If we seek Him, He will be found by us. So, if we are wise men and women today, we will ask God to shine the day star into our lives and lead us to seek Him with all our hearts. If we are wise men and women, we will present ourselves to Him first, and bow down and worship Him. And if we are wise men and wise women, we will offer Him our gifts. So let's all be wise men and women at the beginning of 2021 and make it a New Year's resolution together to set ourselves to seek the Lord. Amen.